Okay. And what we firstly been asking all of designers is if you can introduce yourself and say your name, what it is you do, where you are, anything else you want to add to that.
So you say hi?
Yes, hi.
Okay. Hi, my name is Narciso Rodriguez, and I am a fashion designer based in New York City, but born in Newark, New Jersey.
Nice. And so can you tell us as much as you feel comfortable a little bit about your family story? Why did they come from Cuba? When did they arrive to the United States and specifically Newark?
Sure. My parents came to the United States in 1956. They were both quite young. They came to the United States to give their children a better opportunity than they had had in Cuba. I always told them that they were much more courageous than I was ever in my career, because I could never leave the tropics and go to a cold, new environment the way that they did without knowing the language or very many people. I was very proud of them for that and very grateful. They came to Newark because my brother's sister was in Newark. Her husband was here, and his mom took in quite a few young people from Cuba and taught them how to survive, let them sleep in her house. And she sort of became like a matriarch for many families. And the reason I'm speaking about her is because she became much later in life for me. A great fashion and one of my first influences in fashion.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And so following up with that, what are your memories about the Cuban community in Newark or just growing up in Newark in general? You don't have to like talk about your whole childhood, but if there are any things that stand out to you, even if they're fashion related, like the person you just mentioned who was influential to you.
I was very grateful to my parents for having chosen Newark, because the experience I had in my early childhood was amazing. It was like a very beautiful Cuban community, but also Italian, Spanish, some Portuguese, Black. It was just such a mix of cultures. And everybody was very tight. There was no, I didn't, it served me well, because growing up in that community, I never knew really what it felt like to be ostracized or discriminated against. And it was a very inclusive community. There were amazing Cuban dances and Cuban picnics, and then there were Spanish picnics and Spanish dances, and I just have the fondest memories of like get-togethers with a lot of food and
Yeah.
dancing, joy.
Yeah. I was a Newark resident for some time as well. My family is originally from Jersey City, but I also lived in Newark and I remember like I'm not Portuguese, but you know, going with my friends to the Portuguese parade and like all these amazing things. Yeah, so still happening in Newark.
Yes, there is.
And for my next question, if you could think back to your younger self, what would you say is your first fashion memory or memories? Is it the person that you mentioned earlier who was influential to you? Was it being introduced maybe to a kind of magazine or seeing a fashion show?
My early fashion, I mean, I was surrounded by all these amazing Cuban women, especially Nana Concha, as we called her. who was bigger than life. She was a real Annie main character. And because she wasn't a matriarch, she was in everyone's home and everyone loved her. And I remember being a kid and sitting on the floor and just awed by her. It would be the 60s and awed by her pointy stiletto shoes and her Chanel suit, which she made herself, and her amazing beehive and the bangles and the jewelry and the makeup and the wig box. All. But I mean, she was certainly, when I think back, the most of all the memories, and they were all very beautiful because all these women were beautiful and had great bodies and loved to dress up. But she really stands out to me as the one who impressed me the most.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm going to kind of jump around in the order of the questions now, because that is inspiring me to ask this question instead. And that question is, how would you describe your design origin story? This could include what inspired you to start sewing, and then ultimately pursue a career, in fashion design.
Good question. Well, again, Nana Concha made her clothes, as many women in the community did. And I grew up watching my mom take fabric and create a dress or a suit for me, dress for my sister, clothes for herself. And there was that everyone used their hands and created, either cut hair, many barbers in my family, my grandfather, my uncles, my aunt. And so I had this I grew up seeing people use their hands to create things, and it really inspired in me a love of craft. And it was always it's which has been my focus from a very early age. I'm more interested in the craft of involved in creating fashion than actual fashion and shows and the glamorous part of fashion. I'm much more interested in the craft, and I think that came from my childhood experience.
So were you being exposed to the people in your family who were designing, were any of them pursuing it? Like, where did you see anyone actually have it as a, like, some of the d designers we talked to, like, their grandmothers were dressmakers, and like they were working but from home. Like, people would come to them and just knew that they could make them a dress. So did you witness that at all? Like, were they also like running ateliers out of the home, for, or were they just making
No,
things for like friends and family?
it was more friends than family.
Family. Okay. So the next question is, we read that you really enjoyed fashion illustrator Antonio Lopez's work in your teenage years. And we were just wondering if you could maybe elaborate on that, as well as if there were any other Latino fashion designers that you looked up to, like Oscar de la Renta or Carolina Herrera.
Sure. I loved Antonio's work. It was so inspiring to me, and he was so brilliant. I treasured any magazine or Bloomingdale shopping bag I could get my hands on that he designed. Or
He designed Bloomingdale shopping bags.
oh yeah, they were like a big thing. Yeah, they were illustrations, and so his work, his passion, the way he drew was really a great inspiration. And yeah, I mean, I was exposed to the work of Balenciaga because I was exposed to many Spanish magazines, and he was legend, and the name was so important always. And again, was a very serious craftsman. craftsman and someone who still inspires me. And it would be my favorite designer in history. And Oscar, who was such a force in fashion. And I loved his work. I loved his work. I loved his shows and the way he celebrated women and beauty. And that was very inspiring. I was very fortunate that I got to meet him. And he became a critic of mine while I was at Parsons. We created a beautiful project together. He was always very respectful and lauded my work. And years later, when he was working in Paris at Lanvin, he wanted me to join him and design the couture there. And it's like one of the things that is one of the few things that I regret not doing in my life, because he was so brilliant and he worked with Balenciaga as well. He had great stories, but it was amazing and a great opportunity. But I had started my business and he said, I agree, you should just focus on your business and you'll do great. And it was great to have his endorsement after knowing him for years. He was a lovely human being. He was a lovely man, as I'm sure you've heard, because he's loved by everyone.
Yeah.
Charming, smart, funny, good looking.
That's amazing.
Very talented.
With the Balenciaga construction, it's making me so when I was an intern after I graduated fashion school, I went to Montclair State. I interned at a place called Albright Fashion Library, it's like a place where you can pull.
Oh, sure. Of course. I
know. Yeah. And that was the first time I saw the inside of a Balenciaga gown. And it looks so effortlessly, like, you know, on the outside, but the inside really had all of, like, some of them had all of these things to just really make it fit to the body. And I was like, so blown away. So speaking to craftsmanship, I was like, wow, it was amazing. Him for me.
I have a vintage dress of his from the 50s that got lost somewhere, but it was one of my favorite archival pieces because it was a black silk strip slip with little nude straps and then this big wool, like low back, sexy thing, but it was like a bubble and then tight skirt. The whole thing was attached with little strings to a tiny little belted corset that you first put on over the slip, and it held the dress in place. And I was like, wow, that's a feat of engineering. He was an incredible engineer.
Wow. Okay. You mentioned starting your brand, but I was wondering if you could talk maybe a little bit about your experience at Parsons and then kind of like the trajectory from being a student to then working for these other amazing designers in the 90s and then starting your brand.
Sure. I mean, I was so lucky. In my teens, I had a good friend who went to Parsons and studied fashion, and she and I loved to talk and draw, and my life, my career experience was so enriched by her. And so by the time I was in high school, I had applied to Parsons on weekends and would do Saturday courses, and they were great. And the teachers were amazing and loved my work and really supportive. So by the time I was about to graduate, I only applied to Parsons. My dream was to work for Donna Karan. I had two dreams: go to Parsons, work for Donna Karan. And
check.
I never applied to any other schools. Had they not accepted me, I don't know what I'd be doing today. But it was a great experience. It was tough. It was really hard work back then. It was just a ton of work. They really prided themselves on starting with 30 students and graduating 7. It was tough. But I got to meet and make amazing lifelong friends and mentors like Donna, like Calvin, like Oscar. And then I went to work at Anne Klein right after school when Donna and Louis DeLolio were the design directors there. And that was an incredible experience as well because Donna is wildly talented and loves to share her love of fashion with all her kids. And so that was wonderful. And Louis was a brilliant, brilliant tailor. And really, I saw him tailor things. Plus, the ateliers here in the United States were so brilliant back then. You know, you had all the Italians working in the tailored portion of the atelier, the French ladies and in the soft dresses. I mean, I learned so much being in those workrooms and seeing that work. And then after about 6 years, Calvin poached me from Donna and or from Anne Klein. And then I had an amazing experience at Calvin because it was like finishing school, just such a different side of fashion. I mean, he really respected my work and let me do my thing in the workrooms and focus on the craft. And, you know, and I saw him bring together the most talented people in the industry to work on a collection, whether it be a stylist or hair and makeup, producers, art directors, photographer, everybody. It was just like such a rich experience. And I loved working there. It was a kind of a bittersweet departure, but it was time to go off on my own, and I started to work in Europe. And also, I was doing something here in New York with Saya Cashmere, and I was doing a collection in Paris. So it was a lot of traveling, and then I made my friend Carolyn Bessette's wedding dress, and my career changed tremendously after that, and I was able to found my company and start on my own.
I'm wondering if you can speak about how you knew it was time to go out on your own. Like, was it like a, like were people, were mentors like, I think it's time, I think it's time, or did you just know, like, I don't know, instinctively? Like, I'm just curious about that. I don't know.
You know, I always enjoyed being backstage more than front stage. Front stage being in the spotlight. It just really kind of happened. I had all of these great opportunities presented to me. I got to work at LVMH and do Loewe when they had just purchased it, and they were trying to figure out what to do with it. Those were tough 4 years. But you know, it was a great experience, and it was a very rich experience because they were based in Madrid. So I was traveling from New York to Paris to Madrid to Milan, and then it was like 4 years out of an airport. But it was just time to it was the right time for me to be on my own and do my own thing. I had always wanted to work on fragrance, and I was approached to do a fragrance soon after, and that was really fun to do. And you know, it was my journey.
It's the right time. Awesome. Thank you. For the next question, we have a hairstylist named Eugene
Suleiman. Suleiman.
Suleiman, who's also a longtime collaborator of yours, quoted saying that you are an amazing technician and that is all about the craft, and that you make clothes for bodies. Can you talk a little bit about the construction techniques you use? And how it plays off of the body's anatomy, or what inspires you about the women's body?
Well, that was a very nice quote of Eugene's. Very sweet. Again, going back, I've always been fascinated by the craft and the old techniques and how to modernize them. At Calvin, I started to play with, he had always done menswear for women in a way, or masculine fabrics for women. And I started to take those same fabrics, but wash them so that they were a bit more gentle, and cut them on the bias, which was so much more flattering on a woman's body. And, to me, it's always been about tailoring in a new way, taking a technique like the bias and creating something new with it, or staying in a very traditional method, but using a very unique material for that, and how that relates to celebrating women. I mean, it's very simple. Like, my thing is, I love the craft. The outcome is you got to look good. I mean, it's not good if it doesn't. For me, but if it's not beautiful and desirable, and that you keep it forever, and that it feels so good on your body that you have it 10 years from now, and it makes you feel that same way. And they're sort of simple and personal anecdotes or theories, but I don't know. I love it. I personally love things like that. I love things that make me feel, that bring joy to my life, and I want to keep them forever. And I don't dispose of them at the end of this season or next year. I never give them away. I have like beautiful things from Yoji, from Alaya, from everyone that I've stored and saved. And hopefully my kids will have an appreciation for them one day and use them as well. But I this week I took out these beautiful Yohji Yamamoto sweaters from the early 90s, and I went, yeah, and I showed a friend, and he was like, wow, his mind was blown. Like, they were just so extraordinary. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna wear these this year. Each one of those, I mean, I think that's what's amazing about fashion, that you can create it and it really touches people's lives in a profound way. And you have memory to it. And it doesn't just have to be for a special occasion. It could be everything in your life all the
Oh my gosh, I love that so much.
time.
We only have a few more questions left. But for the next one, we were like so fascinated by your book that came out in 2008.
That's a year.
And like the references for your inspiration, it seemed to be a lot of inspiration from natural elements like water, air, architecture. And so we were wondering if you could talk about that, because we were like so, and we also spoke to, or I also spoke to, so there was an exhibition of your work in Miami at some point. And I also spoke to the, yeah, and I spoke to the curator of that show, who I think is now at the Bronx Museum. And he also talked about like juxtaposing the work with like abstract art. So I don't know, I'm just really, and like seeing your reference books and the images you had in there of like shadows and stuff. So we were wondering if you could talk about that. Like what inspires you, or what, like, yeah, if you could talk about your references, I guess is what I'm asking.
Sure. I am a voyeur. I take pictures constantly, as you saw from my book, and I love to see not so much street photography, as much as capturing the moment or the way someone moves or the way they present themselves to the world. I used to sit in a cafe on 9th Street and 2nd Avenue and watch through the train. The NR was a couple blocks up, and I'd watch all these people walk across, and like you'd see the people who were like spent hours getting ready. You saw the girl who was half dressed and putting her makeup on, going down the street. You got this. You saw the guy who was flawlessly dressed with his briefcase. You saw, the skateboard. You saw everything. It was so fascinating to sit there and draw from life and life experience. And I am curious and photograph everything all the time, and it all sort of filters in, and whether it's light or water or that feeling of color, of bodies, of I think that's quite human and elemental,
It
and
seems very
how,
sensual.
yeah, and very sensual,
Yeah.
good word, how that sort of all trickles in and like consumes your creativity and influences and informs you in different ways. Whether, there were shots in that book of a kite that I was the kite surfers in Brazil, that I was just laying on the beach and just like fascinating and fascinated just, and I photographed it and the colors were so beautiful. And then, how that translated to a dress that was photographed on J Lo in Vogue. And it was fun to work on that book and take all my little postcards and pictures and sketchbooks, and I wanted to reveal the process a little bit, in because everyone's creative process is so different. And I mean, I have it's always a different process starting a collection, but I rarely sit down with fashion references to start
Oh my
a
God.
show, inspiration or a book.
Can you talk about that? That's literally the next question is how do you start thinking about a collection? Like, where does it start? Does it
Again, it's always a different, it comes from a very innate sort of unusual, unexpected. It could be something you see on a street. It could be visiting, I do fabric trips, and then you could go and see a color story at a fabric mill or discover some new types of materials and play with them. And that could inspire a whole new collection. Or there was a great story that the New York Times did on designer inspiration boards. They actually came and they published this huge picture. I think it's in the book. Just like things like, skate decals that I had collected, and wrestling images, and then like a Roomba dress that somebody found in London from a very famous boutique in Havana. That I had never known. I had heard of the store because they carried couture, and Dior had a shop there, and I think Vionnet had a shop there. And that was on the inspiration board. So it was like this very eclectic thing that all came together to make a collection. So it's always different. I think it's what gets you fired up to get going. And sometimes it could be nothing. Sometimes it could be passive. Like you have a deadline, and then you gotta get a move on.
Gotta, yes, yeah. Oh my gosh. So this next question is also going to be prefaced with a quote, a Tim Blanks quote specifically. Because we were all like, I was going, we were also going through, I guess this was like an older thing that Vogue used to do where it was like he would just be there after the show and like talk to the designers or talk to other people who were at the show. And in one of those videos, he made a comment that you have a subtle intensity and that season after season, sorry, you evolve your own aesthetic devoted to the geometry of the female form. And then there was another quote by someone else saying, you have a modern take on something that's really classic. And so we were wondering if you could speak, or I guess wanting to hear you describe your design ethos,
I love what Tim said because a collection for me was never complete. It was the evolution, or it was started the season before, or 2 seasons before, or in sketchbooks that were 10 years old, and how you evolve that theory and that celebrating a woman's body and the way you cut material and what it turns into, and how that impacts a person's life, and then hopefully her daughter's life later, when she gets to keep that dress. I mean, the evolution factor has always been something that I've been curious about, because I think that's how you get better at what you do, not just by doing it, but like pushing it and evolving it from season to season. I don't know if there's a design ethos in there, but that's my personal personal take on it.
I guess I'm wondering, does that evolution for you also come from maybe building on the certain kinds of fabrics you use, or trying out a different strut, like maybe,
I
I don't know.
mean, it's what I love to work with, and I'm so fortunate because from an early age, I was exposed to such beautiful materials and the best materials and the best technicians and designers and printers, and like it was such a great foundation to get to go and work with the top mills, whether they were silk mills in Como or mills in Prado or wherever. I was in the trenches watching them create, and also how they finish materials and how you could just change the structure of something by adding a little bit of stretch, or wool and silk. And I think that was such an incredible part of my journey, and how that was really a great foundation for my work, I think. Anyway, sorry, did that answer your question? Did I get off track?
The next question is just kind of from a design point, what does timeless elegance mean to you? And I mean, I think you've touched on that too, like this idea of it's something that you can return to over and over again throughout your life, but then also possibly be passed down.
Yeah. I mean, I love things that are, and I have things in my home and in my wardrobe that were as amazing when they were made, whether it was made 100 years ago or 50 years ago or now. And collecting those things is, I don't know, there's something. And I have a pair of antique Japanese candle holders from a temple that were, from I don't know what century, but they're bronze and they're patina and they're dark and they're green and they're old, and but the design is so spectacular. And I never I've had them for so long. I found them in an antique shop so long ago. But between the design and the history and the material and the color and what it represents and the feeling when what that it evokes in me is the same as when I discovered them. I think that's an amazing thing. That's the test of great design. Something that endures, and whether something can be, or what's elegant to me may not be elegant to you. That could be an arbitrary sort of idea, but what's timeless, what endures, to great design endures, and attention to material and the craft, and maybe that's why I'm so fascinated by those candlesticks. And it's like it really encompasses, embodies everything that I strive for.
Oh, that was so beautiful. I have one last question, but I kind of want to squeeze in another question. Is that okay?
Squeeze in as many as you like.
Okay. Because now I'm like, oh my God. So one of the dresses that you're letting us have in the show is the dress that Michelle Obama wore when her husband was becoming the president. And I guess I want to ask maybe if there are some other, if you could talk about some other highlights for you, as well as like maybe what the experience is like having like first ladies wear your work, or was it? Yeah.
Okay, but that's a very big question. The dress I showed, I can't remember what year, and the first lady chose that and ordered that. She has her own version of that. The version you have is my archival piece. I was as surprised as everyone else the night she came out wearing that dress. I was very unprepared, very, very happy. She's an amazing woman, and you couldn't ask for a more brilliant model to get what you say across. And she's such an inspiration on so many levels. And her love of fashion was so great. I had met her years ago when President Obama was then senator in Chicago, and we had dinner together at this charity event, and she's just so charming and beautiful and bigger than life, and told me great stories. And then, they started on the campaign trail, and she started to appear slowly wearing things of mine here and there. And it was so exciting up until that moment, which was just mind blowing, and when she turned the corner and looked, it was a really bold statement. Like that's not a traditional dress. The first lady walks out the first scenario, and I said, it says so much about her and like change, like his platform was change. And she sent that message, this was unapologetically red and black. This was bold, and it was all hand embroidered. And I was like, wow, that took a lot of guts. And then I made other things for the inauguration and throughout her time at the White House. And it's a huge inspiration. And she was a huge supporter of fashion at a time when fashion was really needed it. And forever grateful to her.
Yeah, thank you.
I answered your question. I get so gushy when she's just awesome to me.
Yes. And so the final question that we've been asking everyone is, what are your dreams for the future of Narciso Rodriguez? And that could be the brand, or that could be just you. What do you...
I want things to be as they are. I mean, I'm in a, in a place in my career and in my private life, and then I have two amazing kids that are six, and my life is just amazing at the moment, and I want more of this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was really fun. Thanks for being so kind and supportive and sweet and saying such nice things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So yeah, we'd love to keep you updated on the book, the show, when it comes out in February. Send you a copy. You can tell us how you feel about the outcome.
Will you submit excerpts that you'll use, or?
Sure. Would you like me to?
Yeah, I would love to see what you found.
Yeah.
What you heard and what you found. I mean, just it was cute.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That way we can speak again.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day.
Thank you. Same to you. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.
And I hope you can tell Daniel I said hi. He's been so kind.
I will tell him.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Bye.